My name is William Melby. I work for Flexera Software. My role at Flexera today is software vulnerability management. I've been with the company 5 years, actually with a company called Secunia previously, but they were acquired back end of last year by Flexera Software. So I've been in software vulnerability management with a specific focus in that area for 5 years, but previous to that I spent 10 years in governance, risk and compliance. I'm a certified security specialist, and I will try my best in the 20 minutes that we have to give you just a high level insight into the corporate software inspector. And this will carry on from what we discussed yesterday by my colleague Patrick around a new perspective on patch management. So when we talk about a new perspective on patch management, most organizations look at patch management as package creation and package deployment. We extend that to have vulnerability intelligence. And when we talk about vulnerability intelligence, what we want to do is we want to put two extra steps into that process. So for us, a new perspective really means 4 steps in your patch management process. The first step is asset inventory. If you cannot tell which software you have running, on which devices, and which version you have installed, the process is already flawed. We need to have that overview and insight into the estate to understand exactly which software I have, which version it is, and where it's installed to start a complete patch management process. The second pillar that we believe is missing, and we see this a lot, is to have the vulnerability intelligence. Now, Patrick discussed yesterday, we have our own research team, so our database today contains over 20,000 unique applications. It's largely considered as the largest vulnerability intelligence database that exists. Now, to give you an idea of the scale of working with our research team, if you're familiar with the CVE board or the CVE number that's attached to a vulnerability, last year, CVE assigned about 8,000 reference numbers. We disclosed around 16,000 vulnerabilities. So almost double to what that public-facing database has. A lot of organizations will reference CVE when they try to look for vulnerabilities. But as you can hear, you're probably missing 50% of those vulnerabilities if that is your only or single source. So what we see here is the dashboard of the CSI, and we'll talk through those four components. So we'll have a look at the how we collect the inventory, we'll have a look at the actual results, and this is where we can start prioritizing our patching efforts. We integrate with the Microsoft deployment tools, so we integrate with WSUS and SCCM, but we also provide out-of-the-box patches and configurations for our customers. And that's really what we'll walk through today, those four high-level steps. There's a lot more to the tool with reporting and so on, but I just really want to keep it into that high-level area of what is complete patch management. So this environment that you're seeing here is a small test lab that I have. I have about 50 devices in it, servers and clients. For us, there's no difference between working with a server or a client or virtual or physical workstation. So the dashboard itself is highly configurable, and you can create your own dashboard for different users. So to give you an example, I have one here for management, and in my experience, management's not really interested in the details. They just want to see, are we doing better or are we doing worse? So we keep that real simple for them. I also have another profile in here, though, for my security operations center. What we've seen is that there is a gap between the security team and the operations team. Security will use one set of tools for identifying vulnerabilities. They'll then deliver that information to the operations team, who have to go out, find the update, script it, put it into a deployment tool, and push it out. We want to bridge that gap. So the CSI caters both for security as well as the operational teams, working off one data set and one workflow throughout the organization. So here in my threat profile, I might want to see things like the latest advisories that are affecting my security or the most prevalent installations. I then have another profile here for my network operations center, who might be more interested in when last were my servers scanned, when last were my workstation scanned. I did a deployment, how many of those updates were actually installed on the workstations when I deployed them out. So it just gives you an idea that it's very customizable, and it depends what your role is. You can create your own dashboard for your specific role or responsibility within the IT organization. So when we think about scanning, a lot of the times, you know, we think about traditional scanners, vulnerability scanners that are intrusive. They look at the network from the outside, perform a network scan, potentially put a lot of vulnerabilities against the applications and see what comes back in the report. For us, we like to do a non-intrusive scan, meaning that we have permission to be on that workstation, and all we're doing is we're looking at which applications are installed on the workstation or server. So we look at the metadata that's placed there by the third-party vendor. We reference the .exe, .dll, and .ocx files. And it's important that we reference the .ocx files. Now, a lot of inventory tools will only tell you which applications you have installed and possibly the version. But because we are actually looking for vulnerabilities, we also want to look in the .dll's and .ocx. And the .ocx files are those Flash and browser plugins that's not an actual standalone application. That is a very high threat for us today. We see from our research that a lot of the attacks are performed by drive-by downloads. So if my Flash or browser plugin is not patched, and I'm a user and I'm just going to a website, my browser automatically is interacting with that web page. I don't even need to click on anything. If there's a banner advert running, already my browser is interacting with that, the Flash player is running, and my machine can be compromised. So we want to look at those plugins. We don't just want to look at the standalone applications. We have a hybrid model for scanning. So we do offer the traditional, call it network scan, that can be performed either via IP range or host name. Not many of our customers will choose this method because it takes up bandwidth on the network. You need to have sort of file and print sharing available, certain ports and authentication is needed. So most of our customers use this only if they want to do a quick audit. So if you have a service cluster or something like this, or maybe you just want to audit the workstations in your finance department, you can use what we call a quick scan or traditional network scan. Most of our customers today will use our single host agent. So this is an agent which is placed on all of your workstations and servers. It is very lightweight. It actually runs as a service in the background. It's completely transparent to the user. So we don't have to perform the scan on the weekend. It can just run at any time of the day or week. By default, every 7 days, the agent will scan. And if that workstation is switched off, once it gets powered on, the agent will wake up, it'll realize it's missed a scheduled scan and scan automatically. And what we're really trying to do is automate as much of this process as possible. Now, from a security best practice point of view, we cannot automate the whole process. Well, we could, but it is not falling in line with security best practices. We need to have certain checks and balances in place. You do not want to be updating an application that conflicts with another application and start crashing the system. So we need to be able to still test the updates and kind of roll this out in the same way that we do with our Microsoft updates. So we want to have a small test group, we want to deploy it to the test group, make sure everything works, and then slowly roll it out to production. Now the agent is highly configurable. It can work from behind the firewall, and the agent itself will talk to our intelligence database. So what we're seeing here, this is our cloud edition. We also have an on-premise edition. 99% of our customers choose the cloud edition though. It's really just the governmental customers where they have a requirement that they cannot take these services as a cloud service. So the agent itself will talk to the database. It'll make a comparison with the scan results and our intelligence database. And the information that's fed back through my console is which applications are fully patched or secure, which applications are actually insecure or missing patches, and which of those are end of life. Now for us, the end of life applications is just as important as the unpatched applications. If it's end of life, it's no longer supported by the vendor, meaning that if there are vulnerabilities in that application, there is no patch available for it. So we always recommend, again, to follow security best practices, remove the end of life software, and deploy the latest version. The other method is to use the System Center Configuration Manager client that I've installed on my workstations. So in this way, I do not have to install another agent. I can actually use the System Center Configuration Manager client that I have installed for my Microsoft side of the house. I need to make some small changes in the way that it looks at the software inventory. So by default, the System Center client, when it does a software inventory, it'll only look at the .exe files. We just need to go into the client default settings and add .dll.ocx to get the same information as if I was deploying our Sukunya Flexera agent onto the workstations and servers. So in fact, I only have one agent deployed. I'm actually using System Center to collect that inventory data. It's then pulling it into my console, comparing it to the Sukunya research database that sits on the back end of the Flexera products, and then giving me the results I need to make my risk assessment before patching. Excuse me. So I wanted to touch on this PSI just for 1 second. The PSI is actually a personal software inspector. It's a free tool available to anybody to use on their home PC or laptop. It's not allowed on corporate networks. It's a great tool. We have close to 8 million users globally on this at the moment. You install it on your laptop. It automatically does an inventory. And you click one button, it patches all of the non-Microsoft applications for you. One of the challenges for our customers, though, is bring your own device. So they had a lot of laptops that were out in the wild. They were really just connecting ad hoc back to the network. But they needed to have an overview of the applications on there. So what we did is we created some integration with the PSI and our corporate version. So as a corporate user, I can actually create my own PSI agent. I create a unique link here. And when that PSI is installed on any laptop, it'll connect back to our database, and through that link, it'll identify my corporate account, and I can view it from my console. I can then approve updates to those laptops over the internet. So the laptop doesn't need to connect to my corporate network. As long as it connects to the internet, that agent will check back with our database, and if I've hit approve on my corporate console, the updates will be delivered to that laptop. So you can see here I have a couple of updates. If I approve this one, for example, I have Apple iTunes or the Java, I can approve that, and when the agent sitting on this laptop that I have here, when it checks back with our database, it'll actually get the update. All right, so once we've decided on the scanning methodology that we want to use, and as I say, a lot of our customers use a hybrid methodology. They will use Configuration Manager on the workstations, and on the servers, they're only using WSUS. So they place an agent, a Flexera agent, on the servers, and they use the Config Manager client for the workstations. But once you've chosen your scanning or inventory collection methodology, you can come into the results section. And this is where you can start looking at how to prioritize the updates that I need to get out. So often when we start working with customers, especially the larger customers that have thousands of applications running, they will have a very, very long list of applications that are insecure. They tend to focus on the top 10, top 20, maybe even top 50 business applications. Now we know, you know, Sukunya started in 2002, so we've been doing this for the past 14 years with a dedicated research team, and we do a lot of white papers and research to understand the vulnerability landscape. One of the exercises that we've done several times over the past 14 years is to see if I focus on a static number of applications, my top 10, 20, or 50 applications, and every month I just make sure that those are patched. How much risk am I actually reducing? What we found is that in any given month, focusing on that top stack of applications, 40% of them that were vulnerable last month are not vulnerable this month and are not vulnerable the month that is to come. Meaning that that 40% variant is really a hit and miss game that I'm playing when I'm patching. So the key here is to understand which are those applications which pose the biggest risk to my business. So in the results section, and I've just opened up one of the categories here. We actually do this by three categories. We can either look at it by host level, in other words, looking at the devices themselves. We can look at it product level, so we're looking at just the applications, or the actual advisories that are published by our research team. So I've just opened up here the product category. And here I have an overview of all of the applications in my network. So you can see here I have approximately, well, I have 337 applications. And one of the first things that we want to do is we want to eliminate application sprawl. So what do we mean by application sprawl? What we see is that over time, by having this methodology of patching with only two steps, meaning that I create the update when I know that I need one and deploying it, I build up application sprawl. And you can see here, Adobe Air, I have 6 versions of Adobe Air. Flash Player, numerous versions of Flash Player. I don't need all of those versions. And what has happened is over time, I've just deployed the new version out. So I'm actually not maintaining these older versions, but they pose a risk to my network. Because we can see here, if we look at the criticality rating, we can see there are highly critical vulnerabilities in those applications. So when we publish an advisory, we also give it a criticality rating. It's a 5-tier criticality rating. Highly critical and extremely critical are the 2 top tiers. We only escalate it to extremely critical when we have a documented case that this vulnerability is being exploited in the wild. So this is a great place to start your patch management process. Number one, get rid of the applications which you don't need. We do not need to have 6 or 7 versions of a specific application. Number two, let's look at those which pose the greatest risk. So I can very quickly here sort by the criticality rating, which will bring the most critical applications to the top of my list. And as I said, extremely critical means that this, we have a documented case, this is actually being exploited in targeted attacks. So I want to get rid of those ones first. So I just want to open up one of the advisories to give you an idea of also another differentiator when working with our technology. Earlier on, I referenced CVE, and you can see here, these are CVE numbers. So these numbers were assigned, each one of these is actually a vulnerability in this version of Adobe Flash Player. A lot of tools, especially those used by security teams, will give you information based on specific vulnerabilities. So I would have received alerts for each one of these CVEs. We look at it from a product perspective. We don't need to know each individual vulnerability. All we need to know is which product is it that's vulnerable, because we also know that in one product, you can have more than one vulnerability. So that's a key differentiator. We want to bring down the volume of data that we're looking at to make our efforts more effective. We'll also be able to tell you what is the impact on your system. Here we can see security bypass, exposure of sensitive information, and full system access. As I said, highly critical and extremely critical, those are our top 2 levels. And we'll almost in every case find that if it's a highly critical vulnerability, full system access every time you're on the internet. So that's a good way to start prioritizing your patching efforts. We can see the solution status here is that there is a vendor patch available. And then there is some further information if we scroll down regarding other software that is affected by it. And we also give a brief description of what the actual error in code is. And this is very handy if you have a change management process that you need to adhere to and you need to document these things. We have the information here for you ready to put into that change management request. Right, so as I said, we want to automate as many of these mundane tasks as possible. So now that I've had a look at my results section, I can create, under the smart groups, I can create various categories around the specific information that's going to help me to automate the process. So what do I mean by that? If we look here again in the host category, I've grouped all of my servers into one group, so at a quick view, I can see my servers. I've grouped my workstations in another category, but I've also created some rules and policies. I've said that I want to have at least 95% fully patched on all of my workstations. So what we've done for customers is we've created a simple baseline. We've said, we'll give you a system score, and what we'll do is we'll take all of your applications that are installed in an device, And we'll take those that are patched versus those that are insecure or end of life. And we'll express that as a percentage. This gives us a very simple baseline that we can create a rule around. So I've created a rule here, and I've said that I'd like to have all of my hosts 95% patched. If it's not 95% patched, please populate it into this group. So here, all of these hosts, you can see under the system score, are below 95%. So I know specifically which hosts I need to go and target with my patching efforts. But I can go one step further, and instead of having to log into the console, I can create a notification behind any of these smart groups that I've chosen. So it's a very simple way of automating. Once I've decided on those rules that I want to have, I can come down here into the reporting category, and I can create a smart group notification. So here's my one host out of compliance. And I can associate this with any of the smart groups that I've created. So it can either be around, if I say, for example, I've said, I want to have my service scanned every 7 days. And I can decide whether the agent scans every 7 days, every hour, however long. I've said daily on my workstations, because that environment is more dynamic. I have users that have some privileges that they can remove and add programs. So I want to have that updated daily, but on my servers every 7 days. And I've also said in one of my rules, I've said, if one of the servers are not scanned in 7 days, populate it into this window. So again, automating the process. But for this specific one, hosts out of compliance, I associate it with the under 95% group. And then I can say, well, when the number of hosts increases, and check this every hour, then notify one of the people that I've created a user profile for. So I can have my security officer or my system administrator, I can create their own profile, and they will automatically receive a notification the moment one of those rules are broken. Right, so once I've created those rules and I understand what I want to be notified around, I then go on to the next step, which is actually creating the updates and deploying them using either WSUS or System Center Configuration Manager. So as I mentioned, we integrate into WSUS, which is still the deployment vehicle on the back end of Configuration Manager. It's a very simple process to actually integrate into that. And if I come down here to the patching tab, all I need is the server name and the port number. Once I've entered those into, there's two more steps. The first step is to create a certificate so that your Windows Update agent can recognize non-Microsoft or third-party updates that are placed into WSUS, because that's where we place them. So we place those certificates into two stores. And this group policy over here is purely for distributing those certificates. Now you can use the WSUS self-signed certificate, or your own, if you have your own CA, it just needs to be a code signing certificate. But it's really a three-step process to integrate into your current deployment tools. We don't want to be creating additional infrastructure. We want to utilize the same infrastructure that you have in place today for Microsoft updates. So once we've done that, we come here to our SPS, or Flexera Software Package System. Now, again, the difference here is that we don't work off a static catalog, meaning that we don't have a fixed number of applications and you go and select the updates that you want. We have got a dynamic library. So we have 75% more pre-configured packages than the closest vendor in the space today. And this is growing day by day. One of the key differences, which Patrick touched on yesterday, is we actually, in our research team, we have a file signatures team. So our research team creates the advisory, notifies the vendor creates a security update, we get it back, we repackage it, take out all the toolbars, additional software, we test the update, we test it for any known malware, and we house this on our secure servers. When you run a scan, it'll highlight which are the insecure applications, and only those updates which you need to patch your applications will be shown here in the SPS. So you know if it is here in the SPS, You have that application installed, and this is your package. We've pre-configured it based on your scan results. So we've actually built in the execution workflow into that package already for you. So when you deploy it and put it into WSUS, when the machine checks in to see are there any Microsoft updates, if that third-party or non-Microsoft update is applicable to that device or machine, it'll automatically recognize it, pull it down, and install it. So to create an update is very simple. I right-click on the actual application that's in this window, and as you can see, I can create an update package, but I can also create an uninstall package, or I could create a custom package. We'll just work with the update package in the last 3 minutes that we have. So again, certain security best practices we want to follow. One of those is we don't want to work with scan results that's older than 7 days. As you know, for example, Adobe is almost coming out weekly now with updates. And if there is any changes that we make to a package, for example here, there was a problem with the Adobe installer, we have made that change and fixed it for our customers, we'll notify them. One of the things which we add for customers is under the install parameters, we have out-of-the-box configurations that are provided by the vendor, and we make this available for our customers. So for example, here, if I wanted to disable the automatic updates, or maybe I wanted to enable a protected view, I could just check the box here. I do not need to do any additional scripting. So within Configuration Manager, when you put third-party updates there, you have to actually go and add that vendor and that application every time. If you use the Flexera software custom naming convention, if you check this box, you only need to add Flexera once as a vendor. By checking this box, when the package comes in, automatically subfolders will be created for iTunes, Adobe, VLC Player, whichever other update you've created through our technology. So this obviously saves a lot of time. From there, again, the rules are built in for you because we have this information from your scan result. I can just click Next. We will know whether this is applicable for a 32 or 64-bit package. So again, I do not need to do anything. I can then hit Publish, and this will send this up to WSUS. So I've pre-created some packages in the interest of time. So this is Configuration Manager in my virtual environment. All I need to do is go to my software updates. I synchronize with my WSUS. It'll pull the information into my Configuration Manager console. Here I can see all the non-Microsoft updates. And from this point on, I build a Configuration Manager package as if I were to deploy a Microsoft update. And the process is exactly the same as if you were deploying your Microsoft updates. Is that it? Okay. So guys, sorry that I spoke so fast, but it's a lot to cover in 20 minutes. I hope you found this useful. Our booth is right next to the entrance. So if you want to have any questions or need additional information, please come round there. I don't think we can take questions like this. But thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.